Annalene's or something too, but you already saw that with Callie.
Energetic.
Ben allowed. And all trouble.
Ben looked at him.
But worth it?
Don't put words in my mouth, Warren said, feigning seriousness, before breaking out into laughter again. No, most days I work out here with Mullen and Vika, and sometimes Jabe, Annalene's boy. You met him?
At the Sandcrawler,
Ben said simply. Lot to keep track of, I know. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell where Annie's family stops and mine begins. He elaborated briefly on his friendship with Danar and how Annalene had been running the shop since Danar's death. That Annalene, she's a tower of power. Ben nodded and returned to idly staring out the window. Warren smirked. If Ben were interested in Annalene, that should have registered a response. But he seemed detached, or at least respectful of Orin's territory. Which was silly, of course. Orin and Annalene had never been like that, or at least she'd never been like that with him. Orin was married when Danar hired Annalene. By the time Orin's union started going wrong, the Calwells were married themselves, with Callie on the way. Warren wondered sometimes what would have happened if Lizelle had taken off earlier. But no, the Pika Oasis wouldn't be what it was today if he and Danar had been romantic rivals. Ben broke the silence.
How did Danar Calwell die?
It was a puzzling turn, Warren thought. I'll get to that, he said, applying the brakes. We're here. The landspeeder came to rest atop a hill, overlooking a wide expanse, empty but for vaporators as far as the eye could see. The men disembarked and studied the scene. Some devices were clustered together, others separated by hundreds of meters. Pretty, isn't it?
Unusual patterns. The way they're placed, it's almost
an art. Not far from it, Orin said. This is field number 7. But I call it the Symphony. He pointed toward the nearest vaporator, halfway up the rise they were standing on. Follow me. At the device, Orin turned a key in a lock, opening a small door on the vaporator. Inside sat a vial, sealed beneath a tap. Orin removed it. You're the guest, Ben. You do the honors. Ben took the vial and examined it. Orin nodded. Go ahead, it's what you had a while ago. Ben raised it to his lips and drank thirstily. A split second later, his face showed that had been a mistake.
It's freezing.
It's this new Pretorman vaporator model. Comes off the compressors like that, Orin said, taking the vial back. But have you ever tasted sweeter water in your life?
I'll let you know when my tongue thaws out, Ben said, shaking his head to clear it. The vial wasn't that cold.
Things aren't always what they seem. Orin sealed the door on the vaporator and gestured to the horizon. See, Ben, it's taken me 6 years, but we finally brought Tatooine into the new era. All those towers I started with eons ago, they're gone. Rubbish for Jawas. These Pretormans are going to change this world. And the Oasis will be at the center of it. Ben squinted up at the tower.
I admit I never really understood. I thought water was the simplest thing in the universe to produce.
Maybe in the universe, Warren said. But not on Tatooine. Lots of reasons. Fuel cells make water, but they also make heat. Something we've got enough of. That's just for starters. Ben listened, interested.
And you're too remote to ship anything in.
Right, but who'd want to? Orin walked back to the top of the rise. You see, that's the secret to this dead old planet. She's hiding her water. But what she's got is the tastiest anyone's ever had.
It's so good I could see Tatooine being a net exporter of water. If we can just get at it.
His voice grew solemn.
And I can.
He traced his hands in the air, connecting the dots that were the faraway towers.
Those little drops can run, but they can't hide. These machines in the right place, tuned the right way, they need that sky like clay. They play the notes, and the music comes.
The symphony, Ben said respectfully.
Orin nodded. A lot of pieces have to work together at once. We're still working at it.
I'm impressed.
Ben wasn't a farmer or anything else as far as Orin had been able to learn, but he seemed to have a feel for what Orin was trying to do. Maybe, if he turned out to have a skill, he could even be a decent farmhand once Orin started hiring again. Orin returned to the landspeeder, suddenly weary. Farming, he loved. The rest of his life was just necessary. But he wasn't out today to farm. So first things first.
You asked about Danar, he said gravely. The Tuscans killed him 8 years ago. He stopped to help a rider in the desert, like you did with Callie. Tuscans killed them both.
I'm sorry, Ben said.
Well, it's been a while, Orin said. He turned back toward the younger man. Annalene said you were riding in from the east the other day. I don't guess you've ever heard of the Lars family. Ben cleared his throat.
The Lars, you say?
Cleeg Lars. Everyone heard about it. Orin pointed to the east. Moisture Farm are over on the other side of Jawa Heights. If you're new, you wouldn't know. The Tuscans, same band that got Danar, I've always thought, kidnapped Cleeg's wife. Ben started to say something, but stopped. Orin continued. Anyway, folks over there mounted a rescue mission. A bunch of farmers that didn't know one end of a rifle from another. They didn't have experience chasing Tuscans. They didn't have the equipment. They didn't have vehicles conditioned for more than a trip to check the vaporators.
It went badly.
Son, that's the understatement of the year. 30 went out. 4 came back. Orin remembered that horrible day and the days that had followed. Several victims had been longtime acquaintances. A lot of moisture farming wisdom had died at once. 26 gone, he said. Orin went silent to let the man take it in. Ben was troubled by the story, he could tell. It helped to paint a picture for people sometimes, and the Lars experience was as close to a worst-case scenario as it got. Orin had never met Cleeg,